KNTR Talk. The year was 1968, and the automotive industry was in a panic mode, looking for a prototype crash dummy that could be used as an average male, large male, and small female. Who did the brilliant minds of American ingenuity turn to?
The police!
Recent historical records have surfaced proving Alexander Graham Bell's first telephone call in 1876 was not his assistant, Mr. Watson, but to
the police,
asking him to order Chinese. Ladies and gentlemen, fresh from a crash test at Yucca Proving Grounds, your host, Paul Lavoy.
I tried to get it to go my way, but no one ever knows my name. It happens all the time. It happens all the time. Yeah. They called me Junkie Jones in high school. They think I'm getting all the thrills. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to quit playing DJ for a second anyway, and I got a guy who probably has been a DJ before, I would imagine. Right, bring your mic up just a tad there.
All right.
There you go. Austin Ruffner.
How's it going?
Everybody knows you. You know that?
Here I am.
I mentioned your name on the radio once at the end of the show that I'm going to have you on, and like, you get a call from like five people. Does that mean people listen to the radio?
People listen to you.
Or they just know your name? No, I don't think so. No, you were asking me about that story about Hilde Angus.
Yeah, yeah.
And somebody sent me that post last night, and I thought, oh, there's my top story.
Huh.
I get the news pretty much written and wrapped and everything, and, oh, I didn't put that story in. So I ended up, what you call riffing it, right?
Uh-huh.
I knew what to do, what to say. I just didn't have time to write it.
Right.
So, but I
do that all the time.
The facts and all that. I bet you do. I bet you do. Austin's from the Chamber Foundation for Educational Leadership?
Yep, that's right.
You got it right.
That's right.
Every time you guys are on, I get it wrong.
That is a mouthful. That's why we make it an acronym, you know? I mean, we got to abbreviate a little bit. We just go CFEL.
You know, I had a great shirt on yesterday. You have the great shirt on today. It's a kind of a Hawaiian print. It says Miami on it, right?
Yeah, my daughter picked it out. I held up two shirts, and she said that one. I was like, all right, let's go.
I had a polo on yesterday, and it had pink flamingos on it.
Right? That's awesome. That's what I'm talking. I got a couple of those, actually.
It's a gig shirt right there.
It is. That's going on.
So what do you do with the Chamber Foundation?
Yeah, so I sit on the board of the Chamber Foundation for Education and Leadership, and essentially it all started with Leadership Lake Havasu, right? Went through the program 21-22. Then the year after that, you get to become a co-chair or a session planner and build up the curriculum for the following year. And so after that, I had the opportunity to join the board and just kind of super immersed in the program. It is a great charity program, 501c3. Where all the money's raised go toward our career exploration internship program, where we get a pair of 30 kids a semester with high school age students and place them with local businesses to see if they want to do radio, be a doctor, lawyer, X-ray tech is like a big one. There's something in the water at the schools for X-ray tech, but it's really cool. And we get to put these kids, all this money we raise doing these fun community based events, allows us to give these kids 30 hours and $600 to go and shadow and see if they even are interested in doing that once they go through college. So something we're all really super passionate about at the board level. Of course, we get to still stay involved with Leadership Lake Havasu, which is a big passion of mine as well.
This event we're talking about today is Bands and Brews by the Beach.
That's right. Coming Saturday.
It's a lot of bees going
on.
Yeah,
oh yeah, there's all sorts of bees.
But the song we play coming into the show, it's called Junkie Jones, and that's not Junkie IE. It's Junkie like Junkie, mm-hmm. like your house is Junkie.
Right, right.
Right. And that's by a band called the Garage Boys.
That's right, Garage Boys.
Garage Boys. Mm-hmm. And they're from Vegas.
That's right.
And I listened to two songs so far. The first one, I don't want to say the name on the air. It's not a bad word, it's just a bad phrase. But if you're from Vegas, it's kind of normal. But anyway, and that was more Sublime like.
Yeah.
The one we just listened to was more Jim Blossom's like.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of Jim Blossom.
They have a wide range, and they do a lot of big hair stuff, so like a lot of AC/DC.
Really?
Like, so it's going to be really fun. You know, Becky Goldberg actually landed that through a friend of a friend, and we teed them up. They gave us the charity family kind of discount, and we brought them out, and people are buying tickets from all over to come out to Havasu to see them play. So they got a pretty big following. I mean, they've opened up for some big bands. I know that if you look at them and follow them, they have a pretty big follower base. So it's going to be really exciting. We have it's going to be this Saturday, 11 to 6, and VIP gets in an hour early. It's just going to be a lot of fun. The Top Shelf is a local band is going to be opening for One-Eyed Romeo, another local band. We love both of those guys. One-Eyed Romeo, Eric and his team, I mean, they provide audio for our space. They give us, like, everybody's so good to us, and that's what I love about Havasu is, you know, Give Where You Live is strong here.
Don't pump Eric's head up too.
Yeah.
Though. No, those are two three-piece bands. I know the drummer
for
Top Shelf, Steve Sancotti, and then I know Eric and, of course, his dad, Dave, and then the drummer, Tomas.
Yeah.
I love those guys.
Yeah,
I give them grief all the time. And Eric actually wants to be my co-host here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I threw him in the fire
one day.
That's
awesome.
He just kind of burned like kindling, so. I'm kidding.
Well, Eric. You know, it's awesome. Well, you know, my relationship with Chewy, you know, puts me in front of a lot of bands at the Flying X, and it's really awesome because we get a dip into, you know, some of the same sauces where we can use, you know, if the band's coming down to play at the X or what have you, we can use them, but I get to see a lot of those bands play, and it's Top Shelf, you know, Richard Navarrete and his crew, it's going to be really awesome. They're going to open, play about a 2.5-hour set. One-Eyed Romeo is going to be following them, and then we're going to tee up the big guys at the Garage Boys. Eric's going to be running all the audio for the day. We got food trucks. VIP tickets come with VIP, come with two drink tickets. Steven's Tacos is going to be providing the food.
Nice.
And you have a shaded table seating, and if it's nice, cool, breezy day, then, you know, we have some picnic tables cordoned off right in front of the stage. So VIP gets you in an hour early, and you get a lot of perks with that. Food truck's going to be out there. Got a little food court. We're going to have a beer tasting for about half the event, the first half of the event. College Street and Mud Shark providing some of that. And Chagrus, London Bridge Resort, Martini Bay, and the Flying X have donated us a bunch of promo bottles and such to stock our full liquor bar for VIP that's also going to serve general admission. So awesome. We got Romer involved. I mean, everybody's just so good to us, and we love and appreciate that and thank them.
I want to play something that you guys posted online, and because I want to promote ticket sales.
Awesome.
Right? You're still selling tickets, obviously.
Oh yeah, yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
How many people can you fit into Windsor?
Well, we can fit a lot. The VIP is limited though. There's not that many left.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So general admission though, yeah, we can fit a lot in that space.
So I don't really want to set this up, but you can tell me in the end who this is that is, you know, doing all the promotion on Facebook. If you go to the Facebook page, folks, or go to the search. Just look for Bands and Brews
by the beach.
By the beach.
Yep.
All right, here it is.
All right, Havasu, you're not going to want to miss this. We're going to have Top Shelf opening for One-Eyed Romeo and headlining the Garage Boys from Las Vegas.
There's limited VIP tickets available, $55. And with that, you get Steven's Tacos delivering you food, and you get two drinks from our bartenders served directly to you. You get tables and chairs under a tent, front row view to see the bands.
Come on down and see Santos and I in the VIP tent. We have a full bar, as well as having Romer here with a bunch of their beers and canned cocktails.
Come on down for a wonderful day of fun in the sun and look at this view.
Okay, I got a question. How come she gets the least lines? And Becky's like, they piled all lines on her. She did well for having that much. But
yeah, there's a lot of content.
Tell everybody who's in that video.
Yeah, so it's me. It's me, Becky Goldberg, and Aaron Staples, and then Teresa Crowell. And so we're meeting with our marketing people, and we go down to the space, and we're making little reels and just little clips. And so, like, some of us, she'll give one topic, and then we'll just kind of ramble, and she'll crop and take whatever she likes, and then stitch it all together, and it comes out being a beautiful marketing video. That was like the third one that we've done down there so far for this event. So it's definitely a lot of fun, and it's kind of interesting. You know, they always make my mom is Teresa. They always make mom walk and talk.
Uh-huh.
But hey, we're walking talkers. You know, that's what we do.
Was one it was playing Pumped Up Kicks, and she kicks a logo and it spins. I really like that one.
Yeah,
that was cool.
That was Joel.
I was thinking about playing that song actually.
Yeah, that was Joel. That was kind of fun. And that's just marketing ideas from the marketing gal and the team there. And it's really cool to see it come to life. You know, when you're out there, you're kind of like, oh, this kind of feels a little weird. And, you know, sometimes you just got to get over that and go and make the content and just see how it looks. That's how you look every day. So you might as well just do it.
Tell me about the Foundation for Educational Leadership itself. Now you have the leadership course, right, or class?
Correct, correct.
When does all the enrollment for that, and, you know, when does that start, when does it end?
So generally we have everything built up by, like, June, the end of June. Applications are generally the month of July, and then we kick off August with a meet and greet, and then the class is September through May. And in April, May's graduation, but in April we take everybody and do a fundraiser. The class builds up and breaks into pods and committees that are all in charge of different tasks to make their event come to life. And actually, this event, Bands Are Brews by the Beach, was my class project when I was the project manager when I was going through the program. So it's really cool to see how the little things that you do with these service clubs and organizations can kind of domino into something that becomes like a Havasu staple.
I remember when it started. And everyone was kind of unsure what was going to happen with this event. And it's just kind of turned into a pretty big success for you guys.
Yeah, it's kind of morphed a little bit for us.
Right.
And these things, it takes a village. You know, our board's meeting biweekly, and then we start meeting every week. And sometimes there's 2-3 meetings a week doing different things, gatherings of everybody on the board trying to make this initiative come to life. So, you know, it takes a village, and, you know, between our sponsors and in-kind and, you know, the Parks Department and like all of the, you know, getting the liquor license, special event permit. I mean, there's an enormous amount of work that has to be done at certain points in time, too, you know, chronologically, if you will.
When does it start? When does the organizing for this event start?
Ideally,
right after it ends.
You don't want to be kind of.
Some
we
are
usually,
like that.
We slate a date, just like, you know, the Balloon Fest and so forth. Mm-hmm. We slate a date, we pick it, we tentatively lock it down, and then we. The next thing will be, you know, starting the special event permit so that we can get approved and then get on Go Lake Havasu calendar and all the calendars in town. But ideally, I mean, 6 months is like a nice coasting to event time. Everything is thought of. It's not rushed. If you only have 4 or 3 months, sometimes, you know, little things can fall through the cracks. And, I mean, you don't want to get to event day and, oh, your insurance policy doesn't cover you adequately. Or,
yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
I do.
Or, yeah, the food trucks don't have everything they need, commissary, business license, and all those things. So when the health department shows up, they're like, yep. You know, or the fire marshal walks out there and red tags you. You know, those are all the things that you do not want to happen.
Well, somebody on the executive committee must have paid off Mother Nature, because you guys are going to have great weather.
I can't
believe it. And I'm not jinxing it either.
Yeah, thank you.
It just looks like it's going to be very, very nice.
Yeah, we've been doing our sun dance for
is that what it is?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it just happens to be this was the weekend that Chillin' and Swillin' sat the beer festival from many years ago, and it's just a great weekend. It always historically is like super, super nice this weekend, so we're really excited to take this thing up off the ground. You know,
tell people how they can get tickets, how much tickets are, and
Where
to go when they redeem their ticket and get into the event.
Yeah, so tickets are, you can find them online at bandsandbrewsbythebeach.com, and a lot of information is also there where you can see sponsorship opportunities and things of that nature. VIP tickets are $55, general admission is $30, and designated driver is $20. So if you just want to show up and listen to some music but you don't want to drink, $20 for that ticket. General admission is $30 and VIP is $55. I forgot what the other part of your question was. So we're starting 11
where
to
do
6.
They, where do they go? Where's the gate?
So the gate is at the entrance, the parking lot adjacent to the swap meet directly across the street. There's the state park entrance right there where you enter for the balloon festival. That will be where that is, but it's right past the edge of that big parking lot where all the vendors are for that festival. You go all the way down to the grassy area there where Chowderfest was earlier this year. That is where we're going to hold our events. I think from now on, it's just a really ideal space for parking and all of those details. But we'll have everyone park in that parking lot within the state park, and then we'll... in the dirt lot area there next to the grass.
Sure.
And then the admission line will be right there. And we kind of got it figured out to kind of a terminal point entry, kind of like going to an airport. You know, one of the things that the beer festival lacked many years ago was the line was so long, and it was just
really
so hard to ID everybody. So we got it set up to kind of a system where VIP general admissions are split, and it's, you know, it's like going through an airport terminal. You're in and out. And ready to go.
I want to remind everybody, Coach Carl Thompson's going to be on later in the show with about 10 minutes left-ish. And Brian Springberg's due. He's on his way in. But we are also, you know, a lot of people are probably listening right now, and I'll tell you why. We have 2 tickets left. 2. That's it. To Jason Aldean.
Nice. This Saturday, and that's this Saturday, yeah.
This Saturday in Laughlin at the Laughlin Event Center.
That's a great venue.
I said the wrong venue yesterday. It's at the Laughlin Event Center.
That's a great venue.
7 o'clock Nevada time. I believe doors open at 6.
Sweet.
And don't call yet. I mean, you're not going to call me either, because we're going to be switching over guests and that sort of thing. But Marissa June is manning the phones. Can you say manning if it's a girl?
Yeah, I think so. You don't say she's girly. Ladying the phones.
She's girly, ladying the phones in the office. And I'll give you that number in a second. But I wanted to ask you, it says bands and brews by the beach. Mm-hmm. Where does the beach come in? Do people use the beach?
Well, it's just kind of more of a... adjacent to the beach.
It's scenery then.
That's right. That's
see,
right.
I would be one to just jump in.
When we first started the idea and when I was going through the program, it was only supposed to be a battle of the bands. It's hard to get a battle of the bands together, you know,
because, oh,
you know, a lot of these bands, you know, usually don't want to battle each other, you know. They want to get paid
friends.
For a gig. That's right. And so I was like, well, let's switch this to a bands and brews by the beach. And I kind of floated the idea. The whole class was like, yeah, that sounds good. Because we're right next to the water, you know. I was like, this is perfect.
Should have learned the song like Kumbaya or something so all the bands could sing Kumbaya,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. All right. It should be fun. But.
Anyway, I didn't realize Jason Aldean did this song, Big Green Tractor.
Really?
Right, right. But Bands and Brews by the Beach this Saturday, 11?
It's 11 o'clock.
How many VIP tickets do you have left?
Oh, man, there's not a lot. I mean, there might be 20, 30 spots left for VIP. It's going to be a lot of fun, you guys. If you can make it down, please come down and give where you live and have fun while you're doing it.
Perfect. All right. Austin Ruffner, thanks for being here. Again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Really
I appreciate you guys.
It. All right. He's probably used to a longer format like what do they call that? Podcast.
Well, you know, I mean, we could sit here and ramble all day. Maybe I'll
not
hang out
really.
Later off.
People yeah, would exactly. get mad because Hannity's not on, right?
Yeah, yeah,
they
exactly.
Hear, they want to hear, and they want to hear Mark Levin yell at people.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Very true.
All right.
Hey, you know, that is the state of the world today.
No, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, all right, Austin Ruffner, thanks for being here.
Thanks
and we're
going to
give away those, man, can you believe it? Jason Aldean tickets. Jason Aldean at the Laughlin Event Center this Saturday night, 7 o'clock. That's our last pair for the week. Give Marissa June a call, 928-855-9336, 928-855-9336. Brian's here. What up, bro?
Woo!
All right, we're going to switch off of the country as soon as we get out of this break. But, yeah,
okay.
Brian will come back and give you the skinny on what's happening in New York City. Oh!
Wow. Well.
The stock market's there, Brian.
Thank you. I was like, wow, that's a big subject.
It was a save. All right. All right, we're going to be right back. And don't forget, we have a text line, 928-727-5566. Text in your questions for Brian right now. We'll see you after the break. So any time now, Marissa June's going to burst through the door.
Oh, bursting. Through.
And give me the name of the winner for the Jason Aldean tickets. But No, she would just look at me with probably the death stare and say, why are you playing this song? Because I like it.
Yeah. Well, you've got the power. That's
I heard
why.
It on one of the promo videos for the Bands and Brews by the Beach. And wow, that'd be a good song to play, too. So. But, yeah, we picked the band. We'll play something on the way out as we go to coach. You know they made the 4A state playoffs,
yeah,
right?
I saw that. That's killer. It's awesome.
Got a pretty – we should beat the first opponent in the first round here. It's at – you know, in Havasu. I'm trying to think of the name of the team. And it's – oh, man, I'll think of it in a second. Anyway, we move on to play a team from Tucson. If we win this game, because they have a bye. The first eight teams have a bye, and
boy.
We're number 10.
Okay.
So, yeah, that means myself and Jim Chaney would be driving to Tucson.
Cool.
No.
Field trip.
Right.
Road trip.
Right. Speak Out brought to you in part by City Maytag. They bring you the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. That's where we're sitting right now. Find City Maytag, 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. Also, Mojave Mortgage. By Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. Also, Just Meats, all the cuts all the time. Salmon's Air Conditioning. Springberg Wealth Management. Love those guys.
Woo!
Also, Blonzi's Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road, and A&B Propane, our newest sponsor, abpropaneaz.com, and it's Sierra Linda.
Sierra Linda.
The Bulldogs? Yeah. Anyway, it's all on the sports website. If you want to go to the game, folks, go to, put in the www. For some reason, that's, it works the best. KNTRsports.com. Go to the little thing that says high school football. And right there on that page are all the game's recordings, the playback. And there's a link to tickets in two places.
Cool.
Yeah. Because you have to get the tickets now online and all that. So.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So our winner.
The newfangled way.
You say Brenda? Oh, that Brenda. I know Brenda. Brenda's one of my favorite listeners. And I'm one of her favorite radio guys, besides Larry. So, anyway, go ahead, Brian.
Okay, go ahead, Brian. All right, so a little bit of a ugly day on Wall Street right now. NASDAQ down 1.18%, the S&P 500 down 0.67, the Dow down 0.55%. Which I think everything is off of its lows. The NASDAQ was down I want to say 500 points today, down over 2%, and currently it's repaired some of those losses right now. The big kind of concern that you're seeing, you're reading about relative to the stock market here in the U.S. for sure, is just, are valuations too high for a lot of the artificial intelligence, tech-based stock, which is what's actually the biggest driver behind the S&P 500, the broader stock market's run up this year so far. And so that's where it's at. And there's a couple of measures that are really causing that concern. I think I've mentioned it before on the show, you know, the Warren Buffett indicator, as it was.
Right.
Once the the stock market's valuation relative to the GDP starts pushing up over a certain percentage, historically, it hasn't been too long before there's been a market correction. And the last kind of couple of times that Buffett indicator hit about 150% was right before we saw some of those market declines. Well, just, I don't know what it is right now, but I think at the end of last week, it was at about 170%. And so I think that's why you're seeing some of that clawback back in the stock market, because there's, people are starting to question, wait a minute, did we kind of get things a little bit too overheated, at least for the short term, relative to these kinds of holdings? And so that's maybe part of that. The other thing is that, like I mentioned on the show, we need some bad news for the Federal Reserve to continue to lower interest rates, but it can't be too bad. Otherwise, of course, you're going to see the stock market really drawing down. And the bad news that came out today was between federal layoffs and a lot of layoffs in the private sector, led by, again, some tech companies. It was the biggest month of October, so the month of October in terms of layoffs in like 22 years.
Whoa.
So the worst October for layoffs in 22 years. So there's an eye to, okay, is that just an aberration? Is that this month only? Or is this trend going to continue on down the road? And so that's causing some consternation.
I have two questions, and I hate to say they're politically related, but they are in a way. The tariffs, we know they're being argued in front of the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there would be an effect on the market if SCOTUS rules against the Trump administration?
Yeah, for sure. And that is also kind of being priced into it as well. It's mostly, you would expect it to... It's never, nothing's as ever as black and white, right? It's
no,
always
never.
Like,
not with you.
The other. Well, because that's life, right?
I know, yes, exactly.
And I know people want it to be, but it's just not. And so where I'm going with it is that, if the tariffs were kind of relieved and that kind of thing was taken away, on one hand, there would be less concern about the continued cost escalation of a lot of things. Like, stuff's expensive. still, and a lot of stuff is more expensive than it was a year ago or whatever, right? It's mind-blowing how expensive it is to live. And so putting, you know, ruling against those tariffs in some way and removing a lot of those barriers from that perspective could be a positive thing. Now, there's an argument to be made that if, in fact, we were going to be getting some benefits as a country relative to leveraging tariffs to get American jobs back home or get some better trade deals or all those things that are the motivation behind that. Whether or not those are happening or going to happen, that's a whole different argument. I'm just saying if, in fact, some of those things were going to be positive for us and now aren't going to happen, well, then that's the gray area of whether or not, well, just get rid of tariffs just because that lowers the price of things maybe in another 3-6 months. It's not going to happen overnight, right, everybody? The tariffs are just hitting now in terms of costing a little bit more out of pocket. So it all does definitely go together, so we'll just have to wait and see. But it's definitely having an effect, and it's having an effect at home. So I don't know how many listeners rely on the SNAP food program or go to the local food bank over there on Kiowa.
That's the EBT, that food stamp program, too. And then you have SNAP, and then you have WIC is about 5,000 countywide. So, yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot, and if you've ever driven on Kiowa in the mornings, it'll shock you a little bit,
right,
about how many people rely on that. Now, let's face it, there's some people abusing that, but to do that, they would be, one, just not caring about taking literally food from the mouths of people who really genuinely need it.
It's not cool.
Two, they would be lying, have to lie, because, you know, they are asked, if they're not already in the system, if they're on SNAP, I think they automatically qualify for the food bank. But
they do.
If they're not in that system, they're asked, you know, what is your household income, that kind of thing. So then you'd have to take the next step of lying that you don't make much money just to do that. And if you're doing that, man, a pox upon your gates and your home and your family.
Right.
Jeez, what is wrong with you?
I mean, how low can you go?
A lot of people go pretty low.
No, I know.
But that's just horrible. But so, and then if you really look at who's in line, I think we talked about, it's by far the vast majority are seniors that are relying on that because they just don't have enough money to make ends meet, because a lot of people are just on Social Security, which obviously cannot get the job done. So my wife was there this morning, and she ordered up a bunch of food from Walmart, cases of it, bulk.
Wow.
And dropped it off morning to help out.
Good job,
and,
Sarah.
And she asked the people working there, hey, is this normal or are you seeing an increase? And they said, well, unfortunately, it's always pretty busy here, but it's definitely busier than usual right now.
Right. I don't know if you know this, too, but with food bank donations, mm-hmm. a lot of people do donate food, but they can stretch the dollar even farther because they have deals and partnerships with stores.
If you make a direct donation.
Right.
And I assume get a tax deduction.
I'm not going to play tax advisor on the radio, though. So.
Yeah, but assuming that food bank is somehow affiliated with a 501c3 charitable organization, it's not a problem.
They're under the Havasu Community Foundation.
Okay. So I'm just saying that, if you've made a lot of money in this community, and I know who you are, cut a check for $1,000, right?
Yeah.
And that cost you $600 because you're going to save 40%, $400 in taxes. So that's nothing for the benefit that it's in fact going to yield. And I know that Shea Bones is doing their annual turkey drive, dropping off turkeys at Shea Bones restaurant. They just do it. They take it in, they stick it in their walk-in, and then no questions asked, they actually give those out. They're definitely going on the assumption that if you're coming there for a free turkey, it's not because you didn't have $30. It's because you have $30 but just want it for free. And so it'll be interesting to see. So, just a little bit of, just throwing that out there for you. If you've had a good year, you got a few bucks in your pocket, Between the jobs market, between inflation, and between some people really maybe not seeing the same benefits that they were getting for these things, you know, maybe take a few extra minutes and a few extra bucks to help out.
So a couple things. One of our sponsors is Blonzy Steakhouse. Mm-hmm. She has Melissa, the owner, has a free Thanksgiving dinner for whoever wants to come.
Oh, that's
good. Every year. She does it here and at a restaurant in Salem. The other thing is that a caller or a person texted in at 928-727-5566. That's our KNTR Talk text line. What does priced into it mean when you say priced into it? What does that mean?
When I'm talking about the stock market?
When you're talking, yeah, you're talking about some valuations or whatever.
Okay,
yeah.
So when I say priced into it, the main reason I say things that way is as follows. The stock market's price today prices into it all known information, even though that information may not directly be affecting the economy and corporate profits for 6 months. So if they believe it's going to 6 months from now positively affect the stock market's prices, the stock market will go up today even though corporate profits aren't there yet. They're just projected to get there in some relatively short, you know, 3 month, 6 month, 9 month, whatever period of time. So again, when I talk about the fact that they lowered interest rates, again, and they're talking about doing it, if Wall Street was very confident that they were going to do another quarter point federal funds rate decrease before the end of the year, then the stock market would go up now before it even happened, assuming that it was going to happen, and therefore price into it that there would be a positive effect to corporations, since that is the interest rate, that's the fund rate that corporations rely on for their own loans, whether it be for property or business expansion or whatever they're doing. So that's what I mean by that.
My question is the Mamdani effect. I have a hard time saying his name the first time for some reason.
Yeah.
Do you think there will be a Mamdani effect on Wall Street, being that he isn't about he says he's a social democrat, but
yeah,
or a socialist, but many people call him a communist.
So if you're MAGA, you would call him a communist.
But I'm just saying
you would define him as a socialist.
That's not my point. My point is,
well, then don't bring it up.
Wall Street is right there on Manhattan Island. So is Trump Tower, so is the UN, lot of different things that are, as far as democracy goes. It was a very militant speech that he gave when he did his acceptance speech. Do you think that will have an effect on the stock market?
He unfortunately reflected the same militancy that comes from our president, right?
He does.
I disagreed with
that. That's fair.
You know, in other words, he wasn't like militant because there isn't militancy
from
the other direction. But I agree that it was terrible. I thought, you know, I don't know that I support him.
Right.
I just was watching the same speech and thinking, why did you do that?
My question is, any effect on Wall Street so far from the, you know, or is it just too early to tell?
No, it's zero effect because he's the mayor of New York City. So the mayor of New York City would, because the trading location of where stocks get traded is, you know, in large part located in New York City, could have anything less to do with Wall Street. In other words, that question in that way is the equivalent of saying, do you think that because he was, you know, voted into as mayor of New York.
Well, he does believe because, it's guaranteed income.
Because Wall Street is based in L.A., do you think he has an effect? He has no more effect on the stock market in Wall Street just because a business, or I wouldn't even say a business, because the exchange is located there. I think what you're trying to get to, which is a different discussion,
his disdain
than
for millionaires. His disdain for people who can trade stocks, who have that ability, those people who have the money to do so.
So what you're trying to do is make it into a larger political discussion is what you're trying to do. And so if you want to do that, then there's room for that.
Uh-huh.
But what his focus is, you know, if I don't know if you've actually read what his what he's looking to do, his platform is? Oh, okay.
I actually think it's the gift that keeps on giving.
You should look into that.
I actually think he's the gift that keeps on giving, but go ahead.
He is the Republican Party's gift.
I think so too.
He's a gift.
But everyone else is worried about it, so.
Because they're going to say stuff, true, not true, doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because he's a socialist, that therefore he represents the entire Democratic Party, right? That's how politics
works. Like Bernie's, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
So at any rate, yeah, it's going to be an experiment for sure, and we'll see how much he can actually accomplish, because what you want to do and what you're able to do once you get into political office, it doesn't always seem to match up. But what he wants to do is increase the corporate tax rate for corporations domiciled out of the state of New York by like 5%. What he wants to do is increase the state tax on people who make $1 million or more by 2%.
Okay.
These are the increases. And what some of that money is slated for are universal child care. So in other words, just, you know, the ability to have child care at no cost if you make below a certain amount so you can go to work. And then the other one was free
transportation.
Buses. Yeah. Free bus rides.
Subway, I think, too.
No, just
buses.
Yeah, there was a lot of discussions like, well, where does this go now? What about the subway? What about,
What about the zip lines?
What about Uber? But it was strictly just fast buses or whatever, free, because, again, it would allow those making below a certain amount of money be able to get to and from work without that expense and, you know, that ease. So it is, without a doubt, an example of taking money from the rich and distributing that to the poor or the poor or those less well-off, whatever you want to call it.
Uh-huh.
And the fear that many have is, if you live in the state of New York, is that there's going to be a lot of corporations based out of New York who are going to be like, 5% more, it's already high, I'm out. And I'm relocating from New York to a different state with my corporation.
Sure.
So you're going to see a lot of states around the country probably start marketing to New York-based businesses to get them there. And then also, a lot of people, if you make a lot of money, you're not a corporation, but therefore you make a lot of money, so you pay a lot of state tax, you're like, well, again, I'm not going to continue to live here, and I'm going to move out of here because my state tax rate is so high, so I'm going to go to Florida, or I'm going to go to a state that doesn't have state tax, right? Mm-hmm. Nevada or whatever.
Possibly.
And relocate where I live because the cost of living versus what I love about this state don't mesh anymore, so I'm going to get out. So it is definitely going to be an interesting thing to watch and see if those things happen. What he was attacked for and what he's in, you know, he's like, I'm not defunding the police. I'm not doing all these, you know, things that everybody's trying to say I was doing to so that I wouldn't win. But there's no question that it is higher taxes on corporations and people who make $1 million plus is his plan to distribute that in ways to those who don't. And that is socialism. And that's, you know, higher tax rates. So the idea is, the concept is, if we tax all this, then it decreases their standard of living to increase the standard of living theoretically for more people so that it's not so wide a bridge. And there's no question that bridge is way too far apart between the haves and the have-nots in this country. The question is, do you really want to approach it this way by taxing those people to do it?
The free groceries,
the methodology is a question.
The free groceries caught my ear, but
so
I was like,
but you know, it's So anyway, so it will be interesting to see what happens.
I still think he's the gift that keeps on giving, man.
Well, again, that's going to have to be the.
I'm not a registered Republican either, so I'm that other. What is it? Party not declared. They call it a PND.
PND.
Yeah, like a WMD, right?
Can't just say independent. Yeah. So at any rate, I know that's a big thing. It's a big thing in my mind, I can tell you, and I'm curious to see where it all goes.
Well, I'm going
to
have Coach Thompson call in pretty quick, and we're going to go over tomorrow night's game with Sierra Linda. They're ranked number 23. Havasu has the number 10 ranking in the state. And Mojave, by the way, number 4, they have a first-round bye. So there you go. That's what happens when you win the shovel, I guess.
Yeah, the shovel.
Brian, thanks for being here.
Hey, my pleasure. Have a beautiful weekend out there, everybody. Go out there. Hey, help some people out there if you've had a great year. Rather than tax you, just do it yourself, right? That's the idea. That's how we're supposed to do it. We don't need the government telling us to do it.
Yeah.
We just do it for our own people and our own communities. Enjoy everything else that our local communities have to offer.
All right. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure.
After the first of the year, Brian's going to be here for an hour on Thursdays again.
Woo!
All right. Back with more in a moment. We'll have Coach Carl Thompson from the Fighting Knights when we come back. All right, welcome back to Speak Out. My iPad has other ideas right now as far as running smoothly. I hope your offense and your defense run more smoothly than my iPad, Coach. Coach Carl Thompson on the program with us on Speak Out. And a big playoff game tomorrow, first round, AIA 4A playoffs. We've got the Havasu Fighting Knights hosting the Sierra Linda Bulldogs. What do you expect from them, Coach?
We're expecting, a competitive game. I mean, they're a spread concept team. We're going to see a lot of 2x2, 3x1, shotgun sets. They've got a couple good athletes. Quarterback will sling the ball around a little bit, so we're just going to have to get over them, keep them contained a little bit, and kind of, let our guys keep working in the direction we have defensively. We expect a version of a 4-2, two-high safety look.
Uh-huh.
4-3, if you want to call it more of a pro-style defense. But we're ready. We've had a good week of practice. We've gotten a few bodies back that we've been missing for the last couple weeks. We feel that we're in a good spot, and we're excited to get to play football.
Coach, Steve wants to know, who are your backups in case Halo Jump goes down at the quarterback position? Who's the backups?
We do have the option, which you all have seen numerous times, to go with our heavier package of Luke Johnson. You've seen some Jay Deacon in there before. He was our JV quarterback the year before, and he's taken some snaps back there. Nico Bailey. We have a couple guys that could step into that role if needed. But again, Halo's done a tremendous job filling in as we've needed him to, and he seems to be getting better every week.
All right, so there's teams that are ranked lower than you, and then there's teams that are ranked higher than you. The first game you played this season, I can't remember the team, but they're ranked. Gila Ridge ranked number 6. Really? How does that work?
I wish I could really tell you that answer. I can't. The AIA uses an algorithm, which is kind of hard to follow. They use a variety of things from max preps to Arizona rankings to strength of schedule, all those things. So we were a little shocked. Moving 5 spots. We knew there would be a little bit of movement, but we didn't think it would be that much. But again, it's whatever their formula is. I guess they have it. Kind of interesting when you're the one that gets to set the schedule. I guess you can make it work out how you need to.
That's funny.
At the end of the day,
go ahead.
We're excited to be in. We're in a good position. We're playing at home this first round. And who travels better after this first round win than the Knights? You know what I mean? We travel all around the state, so we'll be able to continue to showcase our talents as we go.
Mojave played a team that had 0 wins also. You played Somerton. They were 0-9. They played an 0-9 team and won 62-0, and they moved up to number 4. But you dropped to number 10. I'm at a loss.
It's interesting how the formula works. I mean, even with Gila Ridge moving up, they beat Cibola. Cibola only has 6 games in Arizona because they play 4 California teams as well. So whatever the ranking system is or algorithm or whatever they use, I'm assuming it's the same week in and week out. So, again, wherever we played out, we're just happy to, you know, get a home game,
right?
To get excited to play football. And like I said, we're all in and ready to go.
Coach, I'm going to wrap this up real quick, but do you think this is a good lesson for the underclassmen that are coming back next year or hope to come back, that especially with the Deer Valley game, that one-point loss may have kept you from a first-round bye?
You know, it could have. Again, that day with all the weather and everything else, it just shows you on any given day, any team can win. So, you know, that's part of the game when you line up. But, again, we focus on the controllables. I think our guys that are getting this first playoff experience, it's something that hopefully that gets a fire or motivation to continue to want to be that for the next couple years. We have a couple guys with Ashton Given and Trevor Thompson. They were a part of that last run we did back in 22 to the semis. They were both on the varsity squad that year. So they've been there, and they've talked a little bit about that importance of it, and now the other guys are getting a taste of it. So, you know, we're excited to be here, and we're excited that the fans of Lake Havasu get to see that first-round game.
All right, I got to wrap it up, Coach. Great job as always, and I just want to remind people that tomorrow night's game, kickoff at 7, Lee Barnes Stadium, and you can go to the KNTR Sports website to get tickets for that game. There's a link to tickets right there on the website where you go to the Knights page. And what is it, Coach? Night Up?
Night Up is what we go with. That's it.
All right, perfect. Coach Carl Thompson, good luck tomorrow night, and we'll see you there.
All right, thank you. We'll see you there.
All right. Bye. Uh-huh. All right, and that's going to do it for Speak Out. We're going to take a very short break and then join the news at the top of the hour, followed by Sean Hannity. Thanks for joining us on Speak Out.
This is KNTR Talk, KJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.